Hello, hello, hello. No, not Greg. It's John Aldrey. It's Blue Ricard hosting Blaine Violation. It's an absolute pleasure to be here, baby.
I hate to see y'all frown, but I'd rather see her smiling. Witness all around me, true, but I'm no island peninsula.
As always, joined by Andre Turan and Gregory Mello. How are we doing, guys? Strong high five to start this.
We're
monologue.
Very decent.
I would like to say I'm above average today.
So very
that's
decent.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much very decent. Very decent. Or is it slightly decent?
I had 7-Eleven for lunch, so
again?
I don't think that. And they had these 10 mini beef tacos. 10 for $2.
Dre has been on a 7-Eleven like bench so
pretty
far.
Good. You know, I got to the city. Well, I was supposed to go grocery shopping last night.
Yeah.
Realized it was too late and I couldn't. Well, I didn't feel like it.
That makes sense.
And I woke up in the morning and I was like, oh, I don't have any lunch meat or bread, but I have cheese.
So therefore,
I was like, I'm going to get lunch downtown. I'm walking around. I'm like, Chipotle? No, line out the door.
You don't want that.
Bona would be good, but expensive. Don't want to drop $10 right now.
Exactly.
7-Eleven, two
always.
Slices of pizza and 10 mini beef tacos?
That's
Run it up.
Yep. That's definitely something we care about.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's start with the latest news, I guess. Russell Westbrook to the Houston Rockets for Chris Paul. And I want to say it's 2 first-round picks, 2024 and 2026. And then swap.
I think it's like 21 and 26. It's like a weird two tandem.
I know there was two picks, and
I
then there are two like
right here, so,
there are two,
you know,
swap picks.
I'm really a good journalist right now, but yeah, it's two pick swaps.
You're doing what I'm doing. So, what do you guys make of that trade?
You could have just easily said, "I'm like for future."
I wanted to be specific because I thought I had it, and then it turns out I really didn't have it.
But what do you think?
Actually, Greg, you start. What do you think?
Oh, okay.
It's my birthday, so say it.
Okay, yeah, fair. Say my name.
Well, also, we have to say happy birthday to me every time you guys start talking.
No, I refuse. I already made the commitment.
I'll edit it.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, good. Hi, my name is Greg. Happy birthday. Okay. So, what I think about the trade. I think it was interesting that the Rockets had to give up 2 swaps to get off of Chris Paul. I understand that contract is tough, and like CP3 unfortunately just he's not at the same tier of star he was even 2 seasons ago. We saw year before last when the Rockets first got him, and they were on the cusp of beating the Warriors and going to the finals. But last season was tough, and CP3 has that sort of edge to him that, you know, the notoriety of being a little bit of a hard case sometimes in the locker room. So, the move had to be made. I do think that the Rockets end up getting the better player and younger, obviously. So I think in some ways it's a win-win for both teams because, you know, if you're the Thunder at this point, you're just like, all right, let's just keep accumulating assets. This is our next chapter. We'll talk about what they did with CP3 in a second. But, hey, you did a solid also in that you moved Russ to a place that he wanted to go.
Yeah.
And still got some decent stuff for him. So
I think OKC and Presti set themselves up for the future in the fact that people want to play for him now.
Yeah.
Because now people have seen, okay, so he granted 2 of the best players, you know, wishes. Paul George got traded in a good team the way he wanted to be. Russell Westbrook, same thing. Wanted Houston as that was his favorite destination. Found a way to make it happen. And I think that now Presti's setting himself up as, you know, OKC is not the most attractive market to be in as a free agent. It's not the best city to be in, but the fans are incredible. And now you're looking at the front office, you're like, okay, they're players' front office. You know, they have our best interests at heart, and they're on a rebuild thing. So I think he's setting himself up for the future with 16 picks within the next 8 years, I believe.
Yeah,
but 13 first 6 seconds.
So 19?
Yeah, it's 19 and next 7.
Yeah, 19 and next 7. Yeah, I'm sorry. And so right now you're setting yourself up for this rebuild, but also as an attractive front office. You know what I mean? I think those are 2 things that go into account. Now, speaking of that, Drake, what do you think OKC does? You know, we kind of had the Houston talk with Russell Westbrook being the better player going to the Rockets now. How do you think Chris Paul fit in OKC? Do you think he's going to play at all?
I don't think he's going to stay. there's still a lot of summer left.
Yep.
And NBA deals are made literally overnight at any time. I know people are talking Miami. Mm-hmm. Just to add another piece to Jimmy Butler, and I guess like we were speculating even with the Russell Westbrook trade rumors before, they can give up an expiring Dragic.
Yep.
They could give up. They would give up less. Maybe.
I don't think you need to give up any picks at this point.
No, I don't know if they necessarily need picks because you're already doing OKC a solid by getting that contract. So whether they add a Justice Winslow or a Bam Adebayo, whoever.
Yep.
To that, there's a couple things they can do, but I don't think he stays there long. Some people are talking about, oh well, you know. The Thunder can just buy him out, and now he's going to go sign with L.A. or something like that. I was like, how are you going to buy out 3 years, $120-plus million?
No, you can't.
Not possible. But I don't think he necessarily stays there. if they don't move on him, I feel bad for Chris. Not in the sense that OKC isn't going to be good, but...
It's not what he signed up for. Yeah, that's not what he signed up for. He went to the Clippers to win a championship. Yeah. Didn't happen, even though he had a really good team. Just, you know, he faced better teams. Then goes to the Rockets.
But OKC has this future of just upside. I'm gonna love seeing them in the Pelicans draft.
Yes.
And see who dominates the draft in these next 5 to 7 years.
You like Russell Westbrook more than Gregory, so I'll ask you this: how do you think this backcourt that the Rockets have now mash up together?
I can't say this though. On behalf of Greg, we were doing a top 25 the other day.
Shh.
That we were going to do
that's
later on.
That's a surprise
on.
Spot. Yeah. Okay, we're doing a little bit of marketing. I like it.
But, you know, Greg actually wasn't as hard on Westbrook as I thought he was going to be.
I don't think Greg is. I will say this. Greg, I think, says bad things about Westbrook when I'm around so he can piss me off. But I don't think he's just actually.
Jokic is in a complete center.
That's a fact, though.
I use that.
That's different. That's a fact. Yeah. Ben Simmons is definitely not a top 30 player. Like, easily.
but no.
Yeah, anyways.
it's going to be interesting to see what they do, just because they're so ball dominant.
Yeah.
They were there was a stat, I think, earlier on ESPN today that was saying something along the lines of, like...
They both have the most usage rate.
Yeah, their usage rate is crazy. And I think Westbrook, which you were talking about playing off ball, all of last year he set 4 screens.
He doesn't do off ball.
4. So,
If it's me, I think James Harden fits in more naturally in that 2 spot because of his shooting ability.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Russell Westbrook already established himself as a good distributor. So I think that tandem can figure it out. I was just telling Greg on the way here, I think that Russell Westbrook can bring a little more spacing to already a really solid 3-point shooting team with Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker, and James Harden. And I wouldn't be surprised if I saw Russell Westbrook averaging 15 assists and 15 points a game. And delegating even more than last season when he was with Paul George, and having James Harden just literally knock it down.
And Greg, I don't know if you would disagree, but this is an opportunity for Russell Westbrook to be a baby rim runner.
Yep.
In the sense you got James doing his ISO thing on the perimeter, and he's shooting in. That's the thing, you know. Russell is just crashing extremely hard, going to get the boards that he wants.
And dunking on everybody at the same time.
Would you agree with that, baby rim runner?
Yes, I would agree with that 100%. I think that you saw in the triple-double seasons that Russ had in OKC that he is really a guy that relishes second chance opportunities.
Yes.
And there aren't a lot of people in the league, like a Marcus Smart type, I think, is kind of a similar guy, like that will buy you like some sort of hustle moment multiple times in a game. Russ is up there, you know, Smart is up there. Like those are the kind of guys that like, in terms of some people talking about team chemistry and like how they will fit together, I think that Russ is a guy that players really love to play with. There's never been, I don't think at any point, anyone really slandering Russ for being a teammate.
No.
His style of play, maybe a different conversation.
Maybe
but,
except Jeremy Lin.
But,
because Jeremy Lin was supposed to high-five Russ that one season, that one game. And Russell just looked at him like he was going to kill his entire family. And I got scared, and I wasn't even involved in that altercation.
I think they will fit. I think the team will like each other. And I don't think they'll run into the same exact problems in that way that they ran in with Chris Paul.
And I think also, like, Mike D'Antoni has a really tough task ahead of him because all the expectations, you have so many expectations at this point because you have two MVPs in your backcourt. Like, that is pretty crazy. Russell Westbrook is very excited to play with you. But I do think that Russell Westbrook needs to, like, be in that delegating mindset because the reason it didn't work out in the first place with KD and James Harden was not because they were bad players or anything, or not because they were bad teammates. It's just because Russell Westbrook wanted to do more than he needed to do. And I think when you have that mindset, when you're a young player, that's fine. But when you have two superstars near you, but you don't realize it, then things kind of go into shambles. And also when you play the Heatles, it's kind of way tougher. However, now that they're both on their prime, they're both mature, and they've both seen a lot, you know, individually and as a team, I really expect Russell Westbrook to, you know, be different in his approach, in his playing style, because I think he's going to be much more of as a distributor, as a floor manager, and just let James Harden be the shooting guard. Like, I think both of their averages are going to go up, except Russell Westbrook's points.
I mean, we saw him defer all last year, so I mean, if he's made that decision in his mind, any decision Russell Westbrook makes in his mind, yeah, he's going to stick to and probably do it at a high level. I mean, because that's just the type of competitor he is. Let's not be naive here. Just like any other collection of guys or duo or however you want to put it who are playing together for the first time, yep, even though this isn't their first time playing, but it's the first time where both of them are playing together at their prime.
At that level,
and we only have probably maybe 4 or so years of prime Westbrook, just because of how his body's going to change as he gets older. So this is the time for them to make a push. And also, let's not get so caught up on what else is going on in the West to be foolish enough to think that this team could not find themselves in the West Conference Finals or ultimately trying to play for a title. Because, I mean, the core that they have is still there.
Speaking of that, Dre, do you think if Mike D'Antoni doesn't deliver a championship or at least a finals appearance, do you think, like, within the next 2 seasons, I want to say, do you think he's on the hot seat?
He's on the hot seat now. Already?
He's on his expiring year contract.
True.
They didn't even know if he was going to come back this year. So
what would be, to you, what would be the straw that you're like, we're not re-signing you this season? Do they have to make a finals appearance, or is it at least Western Conference Finals? Where's the line?
I mean, it's tough in this West. So
if you're the GM,
there are more. So
I think they're finals or bust.
Yeah,
I think they are finals or bust. Like, that's true. They've been kind of in that same mindset the past 2 seasons.
Yeah.
And I don't think it changes with this trade. If anything, you're like, we need to see these two dominate, like, because you're gonna have the whole summer now.
Yeah.
With James and Russ together, so you got to see it happen. Now, whether that means that they want, like, a first seed and just run through it, or if they're okay with, like, hey, yeah, we're going to sacrifice some games. Maybe we will rest, like, but both of those players are pretty durable, so you might not have the same resting concerns like you would have, like, a LeBron or Kawhi, but maybe they're comfortable going in as, like, the third seed and just being ramping it up in the playoffs. But I think they want to make the finals, so.
All right. Well, speaking of finals and other free agents and other combos that Andre was referring to earlier, let's look at the free agency market in general now, and let's look at some of the winners and losers from this offseason so far. Let's start with the West. Dre, who are, you know, let's say two of your winners in the Western Conference after this free agency period? I mean, during this free agency period. I'm sorry.
I mean, but regardless of the LA teams, we're not talking about.
Yeah, let's not do Lakers and Clippers. Okay. I mean, and let's not do the New York, the Brooklyn Nets, because that's too obvious.
Yeah, so we'll go to the East. I think. Oh, in the West, I'm tripping. I think New Orleans. I think New Orleans is, if you just look at the complete body of work, all the picks that accumulated off that deal was good. That core is going to be. I think they're going to do fine. I think they'll make the playoffs. I think they'll slip in 8. It's going to be tough. But I think there's potential for them. There's potential for them to make the playoffs. Drew Holiday is very good. Jackson Hayes looks great.
We'll talk about that. Yeah, that's gonna be crazy.
Zion Williamson, of course. I think Ball is gonna fit there. You have potential to have one of the best defensive backcourts in the league there. Hopefully Ingram becomes something better than what he is. But that collection, and I like the acquisition of Derek Favors just to try to
veteran leadership.
Yeah, just feel that.
And a very solid He can have the same level of production to me as an Andre Iguodala when he comes off the bench. I mean, he had that impact with Utah.
I mean, just minus like the defense and the clutch. Yeah. He's a 4, so he's just gonna
just get your boards and just put it back up.
But other than that, I know Greg kind of high on what Utah did, right?
Yeah, I was what you were talking about. I mean, I liked what they did. My winner was the Grizzlies under the radar. I really liked what they've been doing, accumulating assets and taking flyers on young guys. I mean, Josh Jackson they got from the Suns. I'm not as high on him, but like if you're getting 2 seconds with him and D'Anthony Melton,
you know, it could be something. It could be something to rebuild his career. Like, you know, because it never took off. He had a lot of expectations. He's kind of like in that Andrew Wiggins mode where like you kind of hope the best for him, and like they haven't, neither of them have delivered, but maybe a change of scenery is what he needs. So
I'll tell you what, it's some of these Kansas wing guys.
I know.
McLemore, Wiggins,
yeah. But I mean, the some of these guys they picked up to this offseason, like Tyus Jones, young point guard out of Minnesota with some promise. Obviously, you drafted Ja Morant and you drafted Brandon Clark, who I thought was a steal and is a Summer League MVP. Shouts to Clark. Yes, exactly. And they have Andre Iguodala right now on the roster, but technically, like, if you want to get more assets, maybe you deal him.
They're looking to
the Rockets or the Lakers or something else. So, like, Rick,
tell them who the biggest re-sign was. Our boy.
The biggest re-sign?
Yeah. Come on now.
Of course. Valanciunas, our guy. This is a JV pod. Yes.
Put them V's up.
If you're not about Valanciunas, we don't want you.
Put them V's up. Put them V's. Actually, no, we do want you. Please, five star. And
only five star. We only take five stars here.
It's a glitch, right?
Yes. They can't let you. For some reason, they can't. You can't do lower than five, so you have to do five.
We'll dive into the little like the Lakers Clippers like in a little bit. I think the Utah. I made the same mistake last time. Utah Jazz.
You don't say Utah, bro. You can.
All right. The Utah Jazz really did well. The Utah Jews. The Utah Jazz did really well in the offseason. The only downfall is that they got rid of Derek Favors. But you add a really strong three in Bojan Bogdanović, who was formerly with the Pacers. You add Emmanuel Mudiay and a couple of other young pieces that can help you off the bench. You get Rubio. They traded Rubio, right? Or did they just sign?
You just signed.
Yeah. So Ricky Rubio is out, but you got Mike Conley now, mm-hmm. who is better defensively, better offensively, and better everywhere else pretty much, and who has a lot of experience, you know, in the playoffs and whatnot, just never made it that far. But then when you have Donovan Mitchell, hopefully he doesn't hit, you know, a third-year slump and whatnot. He keeps on growing and developing as a strong player that he already has. Bojan Bogdanović at the three, Joe Ingles potentially at the 3/4. I don't know what they're going to do with that. And then the Eiffel Tower himself, Rudy Gobert. I'm really happy to see that team. I mean, they have a really strong five. I think their depth is almost there. I think they can play out of a 8-man, 9-man rotation. I would like a little stronger pieces, but I think for what they are going to do, I think the system that they have is going to be very strong. So I'm excited to see what they are. I think they're definitely a favorite now in the West to at least make some noise in the finals, conference finals, that is, and then see what happens. But let's move to the East. You know what? No, let's do some Clippers, Lakers talk.
We did. Just because we're staying here. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. My fault.
Before we move on to the East. Yeah. So Lakers got AD and LeBron, obviously. Then they kind of refined their rosters with Danny Green, Avery Bradley, re-signed Caldwell Pope, got JaVale McGee, got Boogie Cousins, got Quinn Cook as well, and then Rajon Rondo. And I want to say that's pretty much it. Kuzma is obviously still there.
Don't forget about Dre's boy Caruso, man.
I apologize.
Hey, Alex, the I'll good on you, Caruso.
Bro, he can jump. So didn't get Kawhi. Still a strong roster, right, Dre?
Yeah. I know initially I was telling you too how I was upset with the fact that as the resident Lakers fan, how I was but not head in the clouds, Lakers fan.
I remember every time Dre has said that I'm a huge Lakers fan and we should do better.
My name is Andre.
So anyway, I was kind of freaking out in a sense that like, why are y'all wasting your time on Kawhi and build this team as much as you can, because all the good role players were flying out on Sunday.
Yep.
Like just flying out. And then Monday just flying in. Kawhi and his Kawhi-like style, just I'm going to drag this out and do what I want to do. Which I love. I love how Kawhi is operating.
That was gangster.
But I can say that I was happy with how they filled it out. Still kind of tough shooting wise, but it'll kind of figure itself out with Green and KCP shoots for you a little bit. I would assume Kuzma will be shooting better in his third year.
He just changes shooting motions a little higher up.
And so they'll be playing a different style of ball It'll be kind of grinding and bang you out as soon. Especially with, like, Cousins, I would hate to see him come off the bench, but they're probably going to do it.
See, that's the thing I don't understand. People were saying that he should come off the bench. I think Boogie helps you stretch the floor because he can actually shoot from three.
And somebody actually did make that point.
JaVale McGee is a dead center, which was
it you, Greg, that we were talking about? It was like Boogie does help a little bit in that sense that he can spaces. Step out and shoot the three if necessary. Yeah.
He spaces. I mean, that's what you need if you're the Lakers.
Which is huge.
Yeah. JaVale McGee, I've always been a big fan of JaVale McGee, especially like since when he got to the Warriors. Like, he really like understood his role and he really killed it no matter what he did. Mm-hmm. However, if you have him as a starter, you're going to be jam packed down the middle. And I think Boogie, just as Greg said, spaces the floor. He knows how to play with Anthony Davis already.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I like
it. It's scary. I mean, if he's healthy, if he gets 100% healthy, and we saw some pictures of him, kind of just kind of looks like he slimmed up a little bit. People don't understand, and people pass judgment so fast. Like, Boogie was never elite on the defensive end. That was never a thing.
Yep.
Two, the reason he looked the way he did this past season and during the playoffs is because this dude's body was probably at 25%. If like, you came if back that. From a torn quad, a partially torn quad, on top of an Achilles injury. So, like, what are you expecting him to be the most mobile, vertical threat? No. Like,
he's a human being. Yeah, he's a great athlete. He's a freak athlete, and he has freak doctors.
And let's not forget who this guy was. So, he needs time to heal.
Yeah.
He needs time to heal. He also probably should tell himself that.
A little bit, yeah.
So, that could probably be a bigger sign than what it may have seemed.
And, again, for the vet men, too.
Or it might not just because of just the lasting impact of an Achilles and things of that nature. So.
I just don't think the Lakers lose here because you signed him for a veteran minimum. Like right now, it's like just all bonus. Let's move to the Clippers. I'll have Greg kind of take care of the Clippers here. Acquire Paul George via trade. Acquire Kawhi Leonard via free agency. Retain Patrick Beverley for a 3-year, $40 million contract. They still have Montrezl Harrell. I'm sorry. They got rid of Gallinari to go to OKC. They got rid of Shai to go to OKC. You still retain some of those veteran leaders like Patrick Beverley and Lou Williams, current six man of the year, as like every single season. What do you make of that Clippers roster? And do you think that they won the free agency over the Lakers?
I mean,
loaded question, I know.
Yeah. And you can say, yes, they won the free agency of the Lakers because you got two superstars, but the Lakers also have two superstars.
Exactly.
One of them almost a decade younger than the other guy.
That's so,
so like, it's I want – we'll talk about this on another podcast probably, but if you don't believe in Anthony Davis for whatever reason, please just take a look at two seasons.
His PR.
So the season before this season – and then look when he did not try this season stats. Just look at that.
There's a reason he's a 94 on 2K20, okay?
Bro can absolutely just go into an arena, go to the baseline in a full suit, take a breath, and it'll be 26-14 in the stat box.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, you know, I'm really not sure he can help.
I don't know if he's a top five guy.
I mean, it's just because he was off one season, people. Like,
well, no, he is in and out with injury.
Yeah.
But, like, if you look at it,
when he's on the floor, though,
he still plays about 60 to 70 games.
Yeah, he's
also, like, his usage is crazy because, I mean, when he does play, he's not restricted. The only time it was restricted was when he wanted to be traded.
Right.
And, like, they were like, you know what, like, we might as well minimize it so we can maximize your value and whatnot, which makes sense.
Yeah.
So, when you look at everything he's done, he's only freaking, what, 26, 7?
Let me go off on this tangent.
Sure.
Please,
please go.
Please go.
This is stupid.
This is DeAndre's great.
So, 2019, this year, was his least amount of games. He played 56.
That's good.
That's still 50-plus games.
That's better than a lot of other players.
Okay.
I think Kawhi is about...
Before that, the lowest amount of games he had played was 60. That was his rookie year. The 2 years before that, he played 75.
Only 7 games off.
We played 60, 61 in 15, 16. But the 14 played 68. Off. But the 2 years before that, he played 75. That's 7 games.
And he gets brutalized down low. Like let's not forget, bigs, it's harder to, like, don't get me wrong. As a guard, when you're quicker and everything, like, you get more, like, tension on your joints and whatnot. So it's tougher to, like, be, you know, have a longevity. But as a big, especially like Anthony Davis, you get murdered down low when you try to grab a rebound. Like, people are on you at the entire game, and he still like balls out.
So, and peep this, last year, Davis averages, what was it, 26 and 44? Give me one second.
He was definitely over 25.
He averages 26 and 12. You know his usage was last year? 29.5%.
How does that rank?
26 and
give the people, how does that rank? 29.5.
I gotta look, but the usage, that's not crazy.
Yeah.
At all.
And look at his PER. Please tell the people.
About 30
his career, his career PER is higher than almost any other player. If not, is the highest.
Yeah, it was 30.3 last year. It was 27.4.
That's nuts. So, like, the average is like 20, I think. If that.
So, I'm sorry, Greg. Go ahead and move forward.
Superstars on each team.
So, that being said, the Clippers probably won the free agency period just for the fact that you took a team that made the eighth seed. Okay.
And that nobody
expected them to win two games off the Warriors, but they did. And this was before KD got hurt. Yep. Okay. They took two games from him. Patrick Beverley dogged him. Now, he fouled him a lot too, but dogged him. So, very deep team. They get Kawhi Leonard, who says, I will only go there if you get me another star. So, they ship out, mind you, good assets. Shea and Danilo, very good players.
And it's a win-win.
But you get Paul George now coming off an MVP caliber season. Yep. He's coming in with the shoulder surgery, but he'll be fine. He'll be good. You've got three. You probably have three of the best capable LeBron stoppers on this team.
Speaking of that, the three of them combined, 11 all NBA defensive teams.
Like,
Kawhi has 5, Paul George has 8. No, Paul George has 3, I believe.
Okay.
4? No, 5. 5, 4, and 2, I think. Yeah, 5, 4, and 2. Patrick Beverley has 2.
Actually, when I think about it, I'll say 2.5. Like, Pat Bevin's spot moments will be able to, like, guard LeBron. He's not going
to
really.
He can try to get into his head.
Yeah, okay.
Which won't happen.
But still, you have the rotation-wise. And then you look at this bench and the way that you can put out these lineups, because your starting lineup is going to be Paul George, Pat Bev, Kawhi Leonard, probably Mo Harkless, and Zubats. And then off the bench you have, like we said, Lou Will and Montrezl Harrell, who was a devastating pick and roll combination off the bench last season. You've got second year Landry Shamet, who was an incredible rookie, did a lot better than people expected. He was pro ready. And then JaMychal Green was a great retention.
Did they get Zubac still?
They have Zubats, yeah. And then Rodney Magruder, he's like, if you're using Magruder as like your ninth or tenth man, you could do a lot worse.
And that's if Jerome Robinson doesn't step up.
Right, they have Jerome Robinson.
That's the guy. He's a
Terrence Mann was a good pick, and he's on the minimum. I mean, like,
Kevin Wale can play.
Yeah, they've got depth, and I think that in terms of that, like, this means the regular season. I think even if they rest like George and Leonard off nights, they can be the one seed. I would not be surprised.
All right. Well, let's move to the East now. Who are your winners in the free agency period in the East? Drew, we'll start with you.
I forgot who I said initially.
From the pod that never was.
Yeah, from the pod.
By the way, so you guys are hearing this now, and you guys think we've been slacking for a couple of weeks. We haven't. We recorded an unbelievable podcast. Okay, one in a million podcast. Yes. Okay, we had content, we had jokes, we had laughs.
Like John Alvis level
content. Yeah, no, it was like a rom com, except like with like all the greatest like actors on earth. Okay, there was drama, there was action, there was romance, there was comedy. It was loaded.
Loads of crying.
But guess what? Oh, loads of crying after when we realized that the pod like could not be aired because none of the mics worked. Because someone apparently likes to chew on the USB cord because apparently they don't eat enough at lunch. Okay? So whoever you are.
Travesty.
Treason. It's an inside job. I want to say that you said something about a certain team, and I'm definitely not wasting time here. You definitely said something about...
Oh, no, I said it was the 76ers.
The 76ers, exactly what I was going to say.
Yes.
So the Sixers, how about them Sixers?
Though they lost Butler, who knows what Jimmy's going to do?
Bro, he fits in so well in that Miami culture.
Jimmy, boy, I tell you, hey, I love my boy Jimmy.
Playing them dominoes.
Jimmy got soul.
That was so necessary. I'm not editing.
You ever seen Dream Girls, bro?
Can you talk about the Sixers, not Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, he was a part of them. But anyway, so we knew Butler was probably going to piece. But the fact that they retained Tobias, I think it was solid. Me and Greg were talking about this other day, how Tobias is a good two, but a very good three on championship team.
Yep.
And so the fact that they have that.
As long as he has that headband on.
Yeah, a little shootout. The fact that they didn't re-sign Boban.
I'm so sad.
It was tough.
I cried inside a little bit.
Yeah, tough.
He's a Dallas now.
Me and Greg also came to the conclusion that him and Tobias Harris should share a dual contract.
Oh, no, that needs to be a thing. Yeah, the people want it.
Yes.
That being said, Boban.
Don't you? If you
going to the Mavs?
If you do it, that team is so.
That's fun. Still.
They have two Kristaps, 2 7-footers,
Maxi
three
Kleber, and Boban.
They have 3 7-footers, bro.
They have 4 Dirks now because of Boban.
Don't you forget.
Yes.
4 Dirks.
They lost 1 Dirk. They bring 4 in. Yes. What's good?
Yes.
So but Sixers.
The addition of Horford was huge to me. I think now this could be the league's premier defensive team, 1 through 5.
The smallest person is 6'6" the starting lineup.
Them rivaling the Clippers, I mean, they have it up and down. Simmons was okay in the regular season, really cranked it back on the postseason defensively. Richardson is a low-key, underhand, really good acquisition. Tobias is okay. Porford can do what he's doing. You know what Embiid does, so, yeah. Close 76ers.
Gregory?
Yeah, I don't remember what I said in the last pod, so I don't know if I picked this team. But I like the Pacers and what they did.
You said the Pacers.
Okay, good. All right, so I remember that I said it last time.
Clearly.
I think that the one thing that people will say is, when is Oladipo going to get back, which is totally fair. But picking up Malcolm Brogdon on a sign-and-trade, I think, was pretty huge. Brogdon was the second-best player on a Bucks playoff squad that made a deep run. Miles Turner, I think you're going to see him hopefully take a step up. But pickup of Jeremy Lamb, I think, was pretty good. TJ Warren was a little bit of a head-scratcher, but, hey, if you have to get by for the first chunk of the season with him, I don't mind that. I really like the draft pick of Goga Pitadze. I will probably mess that up. I don't know if that was correct, but I do
like
him. That
was not the worst pronunciation I've ever heard.
Okay, sorry. How do you pronounce?
That was good. That was a good American pronunciation.
Do it.
Okay.
No.
Do it.
I'm not from there.
Say his name.
Say my name.
I think the one thing they will have to do is make a decision on Sabonis, which will be interesting. But I like the team, and I think that. I don't know if they're a top 4 seed. That might be tough. Just depends on when Depot gets back. But they'll be a good playoff contender, I think.
That's what I had to think. I'm bobbling my head in all directions. You can tell if I'm agreeing or not.
You picked Detroit, right?
The Pistons! Vintage D-Rose! No, the Pistons are not my winners.
Why would D-Rose? No, I'll just keep going.
Yeah, let's not focus on that. I can't remember who has said was a winner. I just hope all teams have fun.
Shut up. No time for participation.
That's right. That's
no,
right.
No participation.
Well, you know what? I think Milwaukee is a very strong candidate for to win the East this year. I mean, they retained Chris Middleton. They had to get rid of Malcolm Brogdon just for salary reasons, but they got Brooke Lopez back. They got Robin Lopez as well. I just like the way that team is shaped up. I think that Giannis does not want to leave unless he wins. Unless he can't win a trophy, and I think that they have the roster to at least make it out of the East, especially with Kawhi out of the picture and KD not being able to play for the Nets for the first season. So I'm just really liking what they have. I don't think the Knicks did as poorly as most people think. They're not a winner by any mean, but they're not the worst losers. So those are my take. But let's focus on another league, a summer league, some people may say.
I don't quite get that.
It's my birthday. Laugh. I order you to laugh.
I don't know.
Okay, well, they're fired. All right, anyways. Summer League took place, and guess what? This summer. the Memphis Grizzlies, did they win?
Yep.
With the help of Grayson Allen?
No.
So I mean, yeah, Grayson Allen. He did. He did score.
No, stop. Don't give him.
He never scored. Grayson Allen was never going
to play anyone. Loki, that block was so nice, though, in the semifinals. That was tough. Even Zion said so. So,
but that being said, the Summer League MVP and our guy on this pod, Brandon Clark.
Put them C's up.
Yes.
Put them C's up.
Yes.
So basically, we are Grizzly friendly pod.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know we're going to be watching Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja Morant run up and down the court every game.
League pass.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go. So anyway, because I don't have Reddit to
Yeah, seriously, RIP. That's really sad. Really fun. Funner Summer League to watch than what I anticipated. I still didn't watch it.
Louis hates Summer League.
I don't hate Summer League. I just don't have
Kate. Trey, you and I can talk a little bit about Summer League.
I'm not done.
Yeah,
turn your back on me.
So what do you think about Taco Fall, you know? Your guy?
He's going to get demolished.
He's going to get destroyed.
Yeah. But 100%. I want to see Taco versus Boban.
That's a duel. That's an effing duel.
I actually feel like Boban would Eurostep him.
Okay, but yes. But no, let's give me you guys' three best players of Summer League. Let's start with Greg. Brandon Clark, I know he's your boy.
Brandon Clark. What are we talking about?
No, besides Brandon Clark, to you, two other players that really stood out to you that you think can make a jump into the league, like, and make an impact in the season right away.
Clark, I think Grant Williams for the Celtics really did a great job in Summer League. Showed off the passing that you love to see. He was not afraid to take 3-point shots when they were given to him, and that's going to be excellent. In the Celtics system, I have four guys. I also really like what Carson Edwards did in the Celtics.
I don't care.
I'm adding four
you
people.
Can't have four.
I'm doing four. Okay. I'm doing four.
I'm giving Carson
Edwards.
To you.
Edwards
you
is awesome.
The stuff he used to do back in the day.
Yes, that's exactly right. Also, Aaron Gordon was my decision on that early. That was me. And then I'm going to take another guy from you for the Pelicans. No, I'm good. The Carson Edwards is going to be my three then. That's
I like Carson Edwards as well. I think Grant Williams also showed a tremendous amount of leadership that the Boston Celtics will need, even though he's a first year. Like, I just think he shows all the traits in leader that you look at.
Oh, I changed my mind. I do a fourth. No, it's fine.
Dre?
Matisse Thybulle.
Dre, obviously good. Carson Edwards that no one mentioned before is one of your winners, I'm assuming.
Carson Edwards was good. Well, let me look at the Summer League.
19.8
points per game. I have Jackson Hayes was awesome. Very springy.
When he was catching bodies.
Yeah. That dunk was so filthy.
Yeah. Very springy.
He tried to do it again. He just charged that guy. It was a foul, but like...
And the body control that he had on that, I was very surprised that, like, I thought he would do it, like, fall and die. Like, he was just, no.
He's just, like, shaking him.
Yeah, and then Carson. Tyler Arrow.
I also said Carson.
Was smoking it up. Smoking it up. But
that was three.
I was good. I was also happy.
That was three.
I don't care. I was actually happy to see that Lonnie Walker
was
healthy and playing well.
Oh, he balled out. He balled out. The Spurs, like always, drafted really well. My three guys.
Also, Mitchell Robinson. Yeah.
That was my guy.
The best New York Knicks.
That was going to be my guy.
Yes. Exactly.
That was going to be. Why do you guys steal my guy?
Yep.
You see, this is why I don't like this spot anymore because
We'll let you finish talking. If you can guess who led the Summer League in assists and what team he played for.
Please tell me this Cal guy. It's not Cal guy. Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's a Carson.
Is it easy to guess, or is it like just a random name?
Well, the city is easy to guess for you.
For you, it's an easy team to guess.
Yes.
Is it my boy? No, it's not him, because he balled out too. I'm not gonna guess.
He went to Miami, right? Yeah,
did he go to
Miami?
Yeah, it might be. Who is it?
Bruce Brown,
my boy. My three guys. Very important to say that. My three guys, I really liked what Kyle Guy did. A lot of people kind of slept on him out of Virginia. I mean, he doesn't have the biggest body of all time. He's only 6'3", pretty tiny frame, but just a strong shooter who can, you know, develop his shot whenever he wants and kind of create his own shots. Also a great team player from, we've seen at Virginia, but also saw in the Summer League. He's not afraid to take on a leadership role. Second guy would have to be Jackson Hayes as well. I agree with you. I mean, very impressive, very athletic guy who's not afraid to take it to the rim, as we saw. Third guy, I'd have to go. I can't remember who I thought was my third guy, but I did like Grant Williams.
No, it was Kyle Guy.
What?
Kyle Guy.
I know, I said it.
You said that already?
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention to those.
No, that's fine. Who else was in there?
I'll vamp while you think about it. So, Matisse Thybulle, incredible.
Zaire Smith was my guy, actually.
And Zaire Smith also.
I wanted to give you a shout out. Zaire Smith really impressed me. I didn't expect him to be that, like, efficient on the court. Really liked what he's doing. He was kind of all over the place. Strong in defense, strong in transition, strong in offense. Really liked what I saw from him.
Nikhil Alexander-Walker for Oliver Mitchell was very solid.
Very, very solid.
24 and 6 in 4 games played at 30 minutes a clip.
That's pretty solid. That is very solid.
41 from the field. Pretty good. 2.8 steals per game as well.
What a great guy.
Any other thoughts?
Any other thoughts?
Did I look at the skeleton before we walked in? No. Absolutely not. Did we have a skeleton before we walked in?
We have some ideas. I don't have thoughts, but I have some ideas.
That's
so,
right. Tell me those ideas.
So we're going to have some great off-season content for y'all.
Yes, now
that
we've
hit the dead zone of the NBA off-season.
We need to, like, wrap it up because then we get stupid at the end. Just remember that.
Yeah. So we're just going to hit you with – we're going to hit us with the top 25 list
coming this
soon.
Week.
Yeah. That might be two.
Well, next week.
That might be two pods because that's a lot.
That's gonna be a lot.
You don't understand.
Yeah,
bro, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Why are you guys?
I don't think you understand how much this is.
It's a lot
okay?
for people.
Yeah, it's
not
a lot.
For me. I'm here.
Yeah,
I'm there.
So top 25.
Can I ask him the question real quick?
Yeah. Okay.
Is Devin Booker a top 25 player?
I knew. I don't know why I knew you were gonna ask me that. And I want to say yes, but I have to look at the list, and I'm gonna say that he's probably between 25 and 30.
Okay.
The problem is that he's in a small market. I feel like if it was in a big market, everyone was like, "Oh my God, Devin Booker
is
the greatest."
Chris Paul the top 25.
No,
there we go. Okay, this is one of my favorites. This is gonna be a good pod.
I ain't stupid.
Not at all. Never.
No.
Never.
Okay. No. Trust me. He used to be. Point God. Come on. Original point
God. God.
Stereotypes. Okay. So top 25.
We're gonna have some
debates of the all time greats.
Yeah. Of course.
Because this is a first take podcast now.
Yeah.
A preview of something at some point.
Way too early.
Yeah, I think we'll do some way too early.
Yeah.
I think we'll just do kind of like our five most interesting teams to look at coming to the next season.
What if pod? What if Andre and Louis Ricard made it to the league? Coming never.
That'd be a terrible person.
And then we're going to live pod a 2K20 GM. I don't know if that's true. We're going to get sponsored by 2K so that we can do an early access GM.
We're also starting our own Twitch channel.
Yes, we are.
Follow us at Lane Violation. _ Twitch on Twitch. Make sure you subscribe to Twitch Prime.
Yep.
And subscribe to our
channel. And five star the channel.
And download Amazon Kindle, who's a proud sponsor of us as of now. Hopefully they'll listen to this. And pay us at some point. And also
long-time user, first time caller.
Yeah, and you know this is why we get stupid. I knew that was gonna happen.
And we'll probably maybe do a no cap at some point.
Yeah. We should probably do a no cap, but we'll probably live pod it.
If we do no cap, it has to be Battle of Verdun.
It has to be. It really has to be. I don't care what you say. Greg can be the moderator for this, and then just run out yelling at each other because it was the Battle of the Trenches.
Was it trench warfare or not? That was just an artillery strike.
It's all. It's both because they're hiding in the trenches because they're getting smoked.
Nothing but artillery. No, literally. It was literally nothing.
70% of the dead.
70-80% of the casualties in the Battle of Verdun. Was from artillery
that stress. Means that one mortar can take out a lot
it
of people.
It was really bad.
That was really bad. We should not be smiling about this.
It was only like 400,000 casualties.
Shh, don't spoil it for no cap.
One battle.
That was Nagasaki.
Jesus, that's a lot of artillery. Do you think 300 was bad? Wait till you hear about Verdun.
Come how many people died in 300?
Not enough.
300.
How old are you?
Actually, no, 299 because they sent Oldboy back.
That's true.
And that's how they came with the marathon because he walked.
I'm very pumped for that third one to come. By the way.
Oh yeah, I'm intelligent now. I got a master's degree for a reason.
Yeah, probably we're gonna drop them.
They didn't put it in my.
Okay. Anyways,
hold up.
An absolute pleasure.
One more thing. On that note, you know, I thought they sent a degree to my crib.
Yeah.
Because I got a little note from
them. No.
Right.
I realized it was just a certificate for. An award I got.
Yeah.
And so
wow.
No, you're not
that's
getting
a,
that
that's
until,
a weird flex
until we actually leave in like a month.
Wow, my name is Andre and I get awards. That's cool.
My name is Lily. I'm on the student leadership council.
You what?
My name is Lily. I'm on the student leadership council.
Yeah, I'm busy leading students.
Yeah, I'm not, and I'm still getting awards.
That's my guy. Strong bicep pod. That's, I don't like to see this. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. An absolute pleasure. As always, this was line violation, but also lane violation where we cross some lines. But I can also say it's line violation when we cross some lanes.
So I typed a text to a girl I used to see, saying that I chose this cutie pie with whom I want to be. And I apologize if this message gets you down. Then I CC'd every girl that I'd CC round town. And hate to see y'all frown, but I'd rather see her smiling. Witness all around me, true, but I'm no island peninsula, maybe.